All right, we're back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN. It's a big game tonight in college basketball. Memphis is taking on top 25 ranked LSU in Baton Rouge. Dane Bradshaw is a White Station high school graduate, went to Tennessee. We don't hold that against him. He's going to be on the call tonight for Memphis LSU, and he joins us now. Dane, what's going on, man?
Man, thrilled to be here. I got to tell you guys, I was excited when I got the got the call for this game.
Yeah.
You know, given the ties to Memphis, I know Memphis is on fire, and they'll be tuning in as well for Penny Hardaway's national TV debut against the top-ranked team. LSU's tough, though.
Oh, yeah. No, they got a big test in front of them. And honestly, Dane, I don't think many people here expect them to win. I think they just kind of hope to see a competitive outfit. And we'll get to the game in LSU in just a minute. But I wanted to start with Penny Hardaway. You're a Memphis guy. Obviously, you did go to Tennessee, but you understand Memphis basketball as good as anybody else. When Penny got the job, and I don't think we've talked to you since then, what did it mean to you to see Penny come back home to his alma mater and take that job and try to lead it back to relevance?
I think, like any Memphis fan and anybody from Memphis, it was, regardless if this works or not, it is worth finding out. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's too good of an opportunity, too great of a story. I had somebody here at LSU say, you know, have there been any comparisons to, you know, Patrick Ewing at Georgetown? I was like, and other coaches that have come back, Clyde Drexler at Houston, and I was like, you know, but you got to understand, it's not the same. There's too many other storylines and tie-ins with, you know, Penny playing for Larry Finch, and now you got Lomax playing for Penny, and just everything that he's done in the community. He's, you know, after his career, he came back to Memphis, and all the, you know, what everybody knows, the middle school and the high school. So this isn't like he was in the broadcast booth and then came back to his alma mater all of a sudden. I mean, this is the Memphis through and through, and he's rebuilding it with Memphis players, and it's impossible not to see the parallels between this era and the Larry Finch era.
No, I'm right with you, Dane, and you bring it. You point out the differences. I think there's another one too that Penny had sort of been, at least from a recruiting standpoint, kind of preparing for this, and that he's coached at the grassroots level last few years, had a really outstanding program, one of the best in the Southeastern team, Penny. Then you do it at the high school level with guys that you're coaching now, and you tell me, you know the power of Penny. Do you think he ends up doing what most have felt you got to do as Memphis basketball coach, which is lock down the top talent in the city? You feel like he'll get that done?
Yeah, I think one of the things that people forget is the fact that I shouldn't say forget, but other people that hadn't followed as closely as people in Memphis, that it's not about, you know, him getting the job just because he had access to recruits. I mean, if he was going 14-14 at East with top players, we wouldn't be talking about him as the head coach for University of Memphis. But he's been able to win at those levels, and that experience matters, you know, whether it's at the college level or not. You still have to call plays and understand tempo and assignments and games. So, I think he's still figuring out. It's been fun to see them on their first road trip here, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, they got to figure out, yeah, like last night at the end of their shoot-around, you know, he's sitting there telling the players, you know, talking about curfew and, all right, we're collecting everybody's phones now. And everybody's like, what, they're taking the phones away? You know, all, like, you know. Yeah. So this is their first run at a road trip and establishing what they require.
Do you think that, I mean, the taking away the phones thing is interesting. Do you think that's because the team is so young?
Oh, I think so, and he and I laughed about it. I said, you know, when we were on the road trips back and when I was playing, Facebook had just come out, so to age myself a little bit.
Yeah.
And, like, it was becoming a problem, but now, you know, with a simple app and a swipe and all this other stuff,
that's,
I mean,
true.
You can find where the cutest girl is within, you know, 2 miles of you.
That's true.
And so it's the strength coach or whoever's in charge of sleeping, you know, by the elevator, making sure everybody stays put and in their room is a whole different problem nowadays with today's social media. But, you know, I think these young Tigers, while they are young, they understand the opportunity. They're excited to play. And I think the quality of the opponent has their attention as well.
Mm-hmm. What kind of phones you have when you were playing? What did you have, like a flip phone or a BlackBerry? Like, what did you have?
You know, we had the BlackBerry, and they were just starting to come out with some of the features, like, oh, you can get TV on this phone, like, and but it wasn't working, and it had like a big antenna type thing on it. But the BlackBerry was where it was at.
LSU's averaged almost 96 points a game over its first two. We know Memphis wants to get out. Memphis and Penny wants to get out and run too. You expecting a game tonight in the 80s, 90s, something like that?
I think so, but I also think that it's going to be harder than people realize to get the tempo and forcing the turnovers that both teams want to have because mm-hmm. of the stellar point guard play. Memphis plays a style that we've seen so far. Their defense leads the offense. They force turnovers. They come back and make you pay. But that's going to be a lot easier said than done when you look at LSU's All-American caliber type point guard yep. in Tremont Waters. I mean, Memphis saw a taste of him last year when he took over the game at the FedEx Forum. This kid is a one-man press break. And when I played at Tennessee, the Achilles heel or the kryptonite for us pressing in a Bruce Pearl system was when the other team just had a dynamic point guard mm-hmm. that could break the press himself and control the game, be the quarterback on the court. And so I think that, you know, calls for a really tough matchup for Memphis tonight, just given the point guard on the other side.
Tell us about this front line they've got. It's big and athletic with Naz Reid, Nimmitt Williams. How much of a test is that going to be for Memphis? And particularly for a Memphis team, we're thinking, Dan, you look at it on paper, I think you see the same thing. They don't have a lot of depth inside, and I'm not sure Isaiah Maurice has proven he can be a banger yet. They're getting Mike Park back, but that looks like a mismatch on paper, Dane.
Yeah, it is. And now the one thing, Naz Reid, he kind of stretches the court. He's 6'10", uh-huh. you know, 250, but he'll float on the perimeter some. He can do a lot of – he can handle the ball like a guard. I'm not saying he's Zion Williamson by any stretch of the imagination, but when you turn on the TV – you gravitate towards him. You can't take your eyes off him like a Zion. Yep. I mean, this guy is just, you know, an imposing figure and very talented. But I have not seen him yet just go down there and just, you know, impose his will on people, just a beast down low. Emmett Williams has got a little bit more of that physicality to him. Mm-hmm. But both of them are really strong, and I think Memphis is definitely going to have to come to play and rebound better than they did against Tennessee Tech.
All right, Dana, if Memphis is to win this game, again, they are a 10.5-point underdog tonight there in Baton Rouge. If they are to win, what does it have to look like?
Well, I think they're going to have to shoot the ball extremely well from three. If, you know, the good news, bad news is, good news is LSU has shown a weakness in their transition defense. They gave up 19 threes against UNC Greensboro. That's the good news if Memphis can do that same thing. They've got shooters. You got Lomax pushing. But Will Wade and this LSU staff is smart, and they've made those corrections. So I think UNC Greensboro was a good wake-up call for them in preparation for Memphis. But other than all that, Memphis, we're going to have to find out under Penny Hardaway system, can they execute in the half court? Can they defend in the half court? Because I don't think they're going to get the turnovers they want, and I don't think they're going to get the tempo they want. And so it'll be a test early on in this Penny Hardaway era to see what that half-court execution looks like.
We are, of course, talking to Dane Bradshaw, White Station Spartan, Tennessee Volunteer, now an analyst for the SEC Network, going to be on the call tonight on the SEC Network for Memphis LSU. Tell us the truth, though, Dane. Are you really just scouting for the game at FedEx Forum later this year? Like, is that, are you a plant? Is that what this is about?
You know what? I looked at the calendar and actually, I got my 7-year-old birthday party that day, so I'm
wow.
I wish I could get down there and see the game, but I'm going to be probably trying to blow up a bounce house or something like that.
How about that? Isn't that crazy though? Like you think about like 10 years ago, like you were in that game and you were part of the rivalry, and like when it rolls around in 2018, you know you got a 7-year-old birthday party. It's kind of amazing. Like,
no,
the man. Passing
yeah,
of time.
You guys bring out the worst in me. I'm talking about bounce houses and BlackBerry phones, man. I tell you.
How about SEC basketball, Dane? You've come on and you've talked about the quality of coaching in that league, but they've got it in a position now. You know, we talk a lot about SEC football now. It's the best. People are talking about 8 or 9 teams out of the SEC possibly making the NCAA tournament this year. It's loaded from top to bottom, isn't it?
Gosh, I mean, Mississippi State, they've got a very talented veteran club. Tennessee is more of the same in a good way. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're new, they're improved, and they're just a year better. And then, you know, Vanderbilt, they got a kid, Darius Garland, at
yep.
point guard,
know about
who
him.
May end up being a first-round lottery-type pick. I mean, he is that good. Mm-hmm. And then Kentucky, I mean, look, and it's crazy to think, because usually Kentucky, you always know that they're going to have the best player on the court. But there's going to be some times this year, this isn't a knock on them, but more credit to the SEC,
yep.
where I look at Kentucky, I say there's going to be some games this year where they not only don't have the best player on the court, they might not have the second best player on the court.
Wow.
Auburn, I mean, Auburn has some studs out there on the perimeter. Jared Harper at point, Bryce Brown at the two, and they get the big man Austin Wiley, who's still working his way back in, and D'Angelo Purifoy. I mean, Auburn looks legit as well. So just quite the lineup in the SEC, but you're right. I mean, it's coaching, it's facilities, it's recruiting, it's some of everything, and it's taken some time to rebuild. Because when the SEC network started, all we had to talk about was Kentucky, and we apologized for the rest of the league over and over again. I mean, the number of times I said the word rebuild, you know, during that first year, it was synonymous with almost every program. But now, here we are, and you've got a pretty good conference.
Dan, I'll let you roll because we know you got to get prepared. I got one more thing for you. Do you think Tennessee will be top 10 ranked when they get to Memphis on December 15th? They've got that game against Kansas if they in the NIT season tip off if they go through, and then I think a Gonzaga game a week before Memphis. Do you think they'll be top 10-ish when they get here December 15th?
I do, because of their preseason ranking. Now, if they were ranked 24th
right.
and had to climb 14 spots, I'm not sure. And I'm not saying they'll end the year top 10. In my mind, I think it's going to be really hard for them to reach preseason expectations from a top five type thing. But they're going to get themselves to where they're a good enough seed to where at that point in the NCAA tournament, you know, you win a couple games and now you can see the Final Four.
Dan, you're the best, man. We appreciate
your
fitness
this, man.
In, man. We'll hear you tonight.
Anytime, guys. Thanks a lot.
Yep. Thank you, brother.
He is Dane Bradshaw, White Station graduate, Tennessee volunteer, and now an analyst for the SEC Network. So nice to have a guy, even if he did go across the state, a guy on the call tonight who understands Memphis and will be able to weigh in intelligently. We've had a bad run of those the last few years, guys, like just either sticking up for Josh or sticking up for Tubby, who didn't really know the situation, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And tonight you'll have Dane who gets Memphis basketball and can, like, talk intelligently about it.
Yeah, pretty cool assignment. You're talking about we don't. Dude, come on, man. He's a Spartan. He's a Spartan.
Wait, no, we don't hold it against him.
It trumps the Tennessee thing.
Well, maybe for
Does
you.
It not?
We went to different schools. I mean, he was an optional and I was in standard, so.
Mm.
Did you see, by the way, that White Station overhauled the courtyard?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, they overhauled the courtyard completely there by the East Gym.
Looks good.
It looks great. It looks great.
Well, you guys just ride by there, check on your old high school all the time?
No, it was all over the news.
There's a news thing.
Oh, yeah. I missed that.
It was all over the news. Yeah,
I do drive by, though.
They got...
really?
I want to go back. I think about White Station often, and I just...
Not welcome.
I'm not. I would love to go back, though, just to see what the place is like, maybe talk to a classroom, you know, just go through the halls again.
One day, maybe we'll really make a push to try to get you back over there.
And I mean, listen, I enjoyed my time at White Station. I did.
Well, you shouldn't have screwed over Patera.
No, Patera screwed over himself. You shouldn't have lied about who you had offers from. I learned my lesson. We all move on. We all fall short. It is what it is.
I appreciate Dane.
Go see the courtyard.
I will. Apparently, it's news breaking.
It looks great.
Nice,
it must be awesome.
Very
where they
nice.
Spent a million on or something. This made the news.
Yes,
I missed the White Station courtyard getting redone.
All private donations.
Nice.
So
Kathy Bates.
I mean, maybe.
I'm not sure if Kathy is.
She doesn't claim?
I'm not sure.
She doesn't claim?
Careful.
I said I'm not sure. I don't know.
Well, I mean, you jumped in like you did have some knowledge of the situation.
You know,
now I can confirm that she does have a chair in the if you took theater at White Station, she has a chair with her name on it in
I
that classroom. Yes.
I wasn't aware of that.
I would say then she claims. If she has a chair, she claims.
Did you guys make any donations?
I didn't know. I didn't know where to go. But I would have.
Okay.
I'm not even allowed back. You know, invite me back, and we'll
maybe that was your way back in.
You know, like Bill Lurie, like they had to repair that relationship with Bill Lurie
That's
before
true.
He gave $10 million. You know, so let's start there. How about
repair it with you before you donate?
Yeah. How about you repair the relationship before you expect me to donate to your damn school?
You know, it wouldn't be a White Station segment without me pointing out. I believe that the Spartan Palace is one of the top five biggest gyms in the city of Memphis. Am I right about that? Is
you
that
always
still
brag
accurate?
On Spartan Palace every time we talk about White Station? You do.
Nice. Prior to FedEx
you take
Forum,
so much pride in that
prior
building.
Prior to FedEx Forum, it definitely was. So I think it's still top five.
Wooddale's up there, bro. You
really?
Constantly underestimate Wooddale.
Okay.
I've never been to the Wooddale gym. Is it big?
It's massive.
Okay.
Yeah, they do those that AAU tournament, do the national
Are you counting like Lander Center and FedEx Forum?
Oh, I forgot about Lander Center, too. So
it might not be top five anymore, but
it might not be top five
I think
five
that thing
anymore.
Holds 5,000.
We need to find
Spartan
out.
Spartan Palace?
Yeah, when it's full. I know it's at least 3,500. Anyway,
how big
we're
is,
way off.
No, I want to know. How big is Christian
It's bigger
Brothers?
Than El Marone, for sure.
Yeah.
I know that.
So. Is it? Yeah. It probably is. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Because they have pep rallies and they do, like, you know, school functions in there. You know, El Marone is just a practice gym and they only use it for two things, basically. Three, I guess, volleyball as well. Anyway, there you go. Thanks to Dane Bradshaw for joining us on the show today. Big game tonight, Jason. 10.5. Who
Man,
you like?
Yeah.
Who you like?
It's tough.
That's a tough one.
We'll come back to this.
All right. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.